praise God this evening for giving us another Super Sunday. In the eyes of the world, a Super Sunday comes around about once a year. In the eyes of the Christian, it comes around about once a week, where we can come together and worship our God and remember His Son and join in song together, encourage one another in our faith. We appreciate your presence here tonight to engage in this worship together, especially if you're visiting with us. This is a big week for football, or this past week was, especially in leading up to the Super Bowl. And for those who follow college football, it was also a pretty big week. I know you're not here tonight, as I mentioned, to listen to anything about football. If you're interested in that, you'd be someplace else. But it was a pretty big week for college football fans as well, because this last Wednesday was National Signing Day. Now, if you don't know anything about college football, if you're not a big fan, you may not know what National Signing Day is, so let me take a moment to explain that. Every year there's a date set, I think, by the NCAA, on which the top high school athletes can formally choose the college that they're going to attend and play football for. And that day was this last Wednesday. So a lot of young men sat down, and some of them in front of television cameras, and signed letters of intent or announced where they were going to plan to play football. Basically, what they're doing is they're choosing sides. Typically, when a young man chooses the college where he's going to play football, it determines a number of things. It determines who and what they will represent for the next 4 years of their lives. It determines what they're going to work toward and strive for the next 4 years of their lives. It also determines the people that they're going to associate with, lean on, and support during that time period. And because of the choice they make on that one day, it determines relationships that are lifelong, memories that they will cherish, and allegiances that they will have for the rest of their lives. A choice that is made on one day. You say, wow, that's a pretty big choice. Of course, for outsiders, it can mean a lot too, because it can determine the success or failure of a football program and lots of other things as well. But for the young man who makes the choice, it's a big thing. In essence, they're choosing their future destiny. In the spiritual world, we also need to choose sides. And we need to understand that there is a choice to be made and there is a side that we must choose. Unlike every athlete that graduates from high school, you know, they don't all have to play football. They don't have to do anything, I don't guess. But as human beings, we have to make a choice. We have to choose what side we're going to be on. We have to make a commitment to that side. And the choice that we make will make all of the difference in our lives. I want to talk to you tonight about choosing sides. Choosing sides is a choice that we must make, all of us. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, a passage that Freddie alluded to just a moment ago, and we sang the song, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. Here's what Joshua lays out before the people. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Basically, he says, you can choose to serve, you know, foreign gods. You can choose to serve the gods of the people that are dwelling here. You can choose to serve the Lord God, but you're going to have to choose to serve somebody. For me and my house, the choice that we have made is to serve the Lord. And just as that choice made all the difference in the life of Joshua, it make all the difference in our lives as well. We need to understand that there is no neutral side. We are either friends of the world or we're friends of God. James chapter 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, James says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Somebody says, well, I want to be Switzerland. I want to remain neutral. I'm not going to take a side in this. Can't happen. Either you're on the side of the world and you're a friend of the world, in which case you are an enemy of God. You've declared yourself as an enemy of God. Or you're on God's side and you're an enemy of the world. That's all that's before us there in James chapter 4. We're either for the Lord or we're against Him. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 38, John spoke to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow with us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against me, or against us, is on our side." Jesus only recognized, you notice in this, that there were two sides. There was no neutral country. There was no neutral place to be. You're either for us or against us. If you're not against us, you're on our side. We're either children of God or children of the devil. I'm trying to outline for you here the way that the Bible sort of frames these choices. Uses different words, different concepts. But what's clear in all of these passages, whether you're talking about being a friend of the world or a friend of God, a friend of Jesus and His disciples, or you know, somebody else, or here, as we look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, a child of God or the child of the devil. Unlike what the world sees today, you know what the world sees today? The world sees this huge gray area. There's this big, gigantic country of Switzerland that's entirely neutral in the mind of the world. And a lot of people just think, well, that's where I want to live. I just want to be right there in the middle. I don't want to take a side. I've seen statues in cities of many great men straddling horses. But I never saw a statue of a great man straddling a fence. There is no neutrality. There is no middle ground. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest." That means they're made known. "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." There's a way to tell. There not only are there just two sides, there's a way to tell the difference between the two. And John says you can tell somebody that's on God's side, a child of God, by he who practices righteousness, he who loves his brother. You can tell. Not only are there just two sides, but it's people look at this and they say, well, I can't tell what's good and what's bad, who's on the right side, who's on the wrong side. John says you can. John says you can tell the difference between children of God and children of the devil. It's not our business to judge all of that, but you can tell the difference. It's made manifest. It's made known by the way they live their lives, righteous or unrighteous, by the way they love or fail to. Neutrality in this contest is not possible. And I'm begging you tonight as we begin to outline this, please don't deceive yourself into thinking that it is. Please don't deceive yourself into thinking that when it comes to your life, say, in your workplace or in your school, that somehow, you know, there are these forces of good and evil all around and you're just not going to join that fray. You're just not going to choose a side. Let's be clear tonight that there is scarcely any difference in practical terms between someone who is belligerently against the Lord and someone who simply will not support Him. The great writer Dante once said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in times of great moral crisis. In our land, in our society, in our culture today, I believe we're at a time of great moral crisis where things that are blatantly evil are being accepted in our society and held up as things that are good. To be neutral, or to try to be, is to take the other side. So we encourage you this evening, encourage all of us, to choose the Lord's side. And the wisdom in doing that, the benefits of doing that, are first of all, it's the winning side. I don't know about you, but I like to be on the winning team. If I were a high school athlete that was choosing where I'm going to play football or some other sport for the next few years, and I had a choice to play on a great winning team with a great coach and a great program, or a losing team that, you know, never goes anywhere, I think I'd choose the winning team. Everybody likes to be with the winner. And to choose the Lord's side is to choose the winning side. Romans 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? In verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Those on the Lord's side don't have to be afraid of being overwhelmed by their opponent. We choose a side, we know we're going to win, and not only so, but even though our opponent may be strong and fearsome and fearful, we still know that they will not overwhelm us because we are on the Lord's side. Listen to Psalm 118 and verse 6, where it says that the Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then listen to the beautiful Psalm, Psalm 124. I think the screen might say 24, but it's 124. Starting in verse 1. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, when God is on your side, the God who made heaven and earth, it doesn't matter how overwhelming the flood is, God is on your side and you will be able to stand, withstand it. God is on your side. You don't have to fear being overwhelmed by your opponent. Those on the Lord's side have the benefit of not suffering His wrath. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God. We talk about His power and His greatness, His mighty creative power that we see all around us. But His wrath is a fearful thing. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that His wrath is terrible. We don't even have to fear that if we're on His side. You might imagine some great football coach trying to pump up his team. And he tells them, you get in their faces. You knock them down. You don't let them cross the line of scrimmage. He spurs his team on to complete and total victory. He gets mad with his opponent. God is angry with the wicked every day. And in eternity, that anger will be vented. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we choose the Lord's side, we choose a side that's the winning side, where we don't have to fear our opponent, where we don't have to fear the Lord's wrath, for it is vented toward others. And we choose a side in which the Lord leads us. And pardon another football analogy, but a great coach can make all the difference in the success of a team. Those of you who are football fans, or whether you're college or pro football fans, you probably have your favorite coaches, and those that have achieved greatness because of their ability of coaches. There are also a lot of coaches who don't achieve greatness. Those that you wouldn't want to play for. God is the one who leads our side. Great players typically want to play for a great coach that brings them more renown and helps them to be better players, but then in turn gives greater reputation and renown and glory to the coach. Isn't that interesting how that cycle works? Here a person is a great player and he wants to play for a great coach, and then because he's a great player, he gives all of his effort to this great coach, and the great coach becomes even greater in everybody's eyes. And that's just precisely the way it works with the Lord. He wants great people, and He wants to make them great in His service and in His work. And all of that brings glory to His name. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, there's a fascinating passage as Joshua leads the children of Israel. We talked about him later in his life in Joshua 24. He chooses, he says, "Me and my house, we've chosen the Lord. We shall choose the Lord." But earlier, as he leads the children of Israel into Canaan land, and the first place they come as they enter the land is this fortified city of Jericho. And Joshua and the people are encamped and ready to take down the city of Jericho at the instruction of the Lord. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua's question is, in essence, whose side are you on? Now, you might think, well, Joshua, that's a great question. Here you see a man, he's ready for battle, he's got his sword drawn, and whose side are you on anyway? But he didn't know who this was. Listen to the response that he gets. He says, "Are you for us or against us? Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Joshua, doesn't matter. You're asking the wrong question. It's not whose side am I on, it's whose side are you on? I am the commander of the Lord's army. You need to be on my side. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said, "What does my Lord say to His servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. When we think about committing to serving on the Lord's side, it's a commitment that we make to follow Him, to be led by Him, to be under His direction, and to be His servant. Nobody on the team tells Coach Chizik what to do or Coach Saban what to do. You just don't do that. You're on the team to be told what to do. We're on God's team. We sign up for that, so to speak. We commit to that. To be His servants. To have Him command us. And we, I think, must be clear on that. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 11, the Lord gives voice before His army. "For His camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can endure it?" In all of this, we're being encouraged to choose the Lord's side. We're seeing the reasons why we should. Now, I realize that while I'm not talking a lot tonight about, you know, practical decisions that you might make day by day, I hope that you see that this applies to your life practically day by day. And that there are many, many times when you just need to step back and say, now whose side have I chosen? What am I going to fight for here? What am I going to stand for here? And that leads us to the final point that we want to make this evening. I want you to go in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. You might remember the children of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian slavery. They've come to Mount Sinai. The text tells us Moses delayed from coming down from the mountain after he'd gone up to get the law from God. And when he did so, the children of Israel made a golden calf and worshipped it. In fact, if you read the text, says in chapter 32, after they made the calf, Aaron saw it in verse 5. He built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is the feast of the Lord." They rose up early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When Joshua and Moses, who'd gone up on the mountain to receive the law, when they heard the noise in the camp as they're coming down, Joshua assumes that the noise he hears is war in the camp. And in a way, perhaps he was right, because there was a war going on between good and evil. But what he heard really was the noise of the celebration. And people, in effect, were choosing sides. Verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, and that they had indeed risen up to eat and drink and play, he called to those who were on the Lord's side. Exodus 32 and verse 26, as you go down in the context. Moses stood in the entrance of the camp, and he said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. What I want you to notice now about this text is this. He doesn't say, "Y'all need to choose which side you're on." They'd already chosen. He says, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." They'd already made their choice. And the Levites gathered to him. Like them, you and I made a choice. And really, one way of thinking about it is this. If you've committed to serve the Lord and to be with Him on His side, then as you live day to day, and as issues come up, and what are you going to do here and what are you going to do there? Are you going to rise up to eat and drink and play? Or are you going to do things that are spiritual, good, and wholesome in nature? Are you going to stay home and watch the Super Bowl? Or go to worship with the saints? Well, I know what choice you made tonight. But see, the reason you did that was because you're already on the Lord's side. You're already on the Lord's side. Once you see what side you're on, young people, older folks as well, once you've made your decision and made your choice as to which side you're on, then all the other choices are very, very clear. When it comes time to play the big game, somebody who's made his choice doesn't have to think about, am I going to put on the crimson and white or the orange and blue? He made his choice on signing day. And all of the other choices, who he would associate with, what he would fight for, what he'd struggle for, where his fellowship and his love and his affection would be, all of those choices were made on signing day. If you're a Christian, you've made your choice. We'd ask you to live it. All of us need to realize that we've made our choice. Over and over again in Scripture, the Apostle Paul especially uses this approach in dealing with Christians and trying to encourage them to live wisely and for Christ day by day. He talks about, you've already crucified the old man. You've already put on the new man in Christ in baptism. Therefore, here's how you live once you've made that choice. Once the old man is dead. Here's how you live. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, He says, in fact, alluding to this very event back in Exodus, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, he says that these things happened to them, they became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When we live our lives to eat and drink and play, we've chosen a side, and it's not the Lord's side. Paul wants us to know that. What's your life all about day by day? Have you really chosen? I hope tonight that I'm talking to a group of people who know that they've chosen a side. They've committed. They signed up to be on the Lord's side every day. Maybe that you have reneged on that, that you've gone over to the other team in some way or another, that you've not been true to your commitment. And if that's your case tonight, we'd ask you to think about that and return to the Lord. We're going to sing a song in a moment. And if in any way you need to commit or recommit yourself to the Lord's side, we'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing together.